All right, let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for being obedient, even unto the point of death, and not just a bullet, but a death on the cross to pay our debt of sin that we could not pay. Lord, we are so grateful. And I just ask, Lord, as we study your word, that you would drive it deep into our heart, convict us of sin, encourage us in your word, and that your name would be glorified and no one else. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're going through Colossians. I want you guys to grab your handout or your flyer or whatever, and I want you to pull the one piece out of it or rip something out of it. I'm going to have you put it in. We're going to turn to Colossians 3, but I want you to put a little dog ear or a paper on Ephesians 6. That's a sister passage to this passage we're going to be covering in Colossians 3, 20 and 21. So we're going to be flipping back and forth. I want you guys to be able to flip quick. I've got mine marked, so I'm going to be flipping quick too. So we're going through Colossians. Mark preached last week on wives submitting to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and not be bitter to them. This idea of holiness in family life, or what God's called us to do in family life. This world has a very skewed and perverted view of family life, does it not? They will tell you everything but the right thing. Everything but the right thing. I like God's plan. It's simple. He just makes it very simple. He says, hey, look, there's supposed to be submission. Wives, submit to your husbands. That gets real easy when the husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church. It's simple. And then we're both to submit to Christ, working together, right? And now we're going to deal with children. So if you're children here today, grab your safety belt, go like this, and go click, right? If the dude next to you is not belted up, or the female, buckle her up too. Okay, good stuff for not only you guys, but for us as parents too. Okay, everybody gets a little bit of instruction from the Lord and encouragement. So Mark preached on Colossians 3, 18 and 19. We're going to cover 20 and 21, just two verses. We're basically going to go through what the scripture says to you kids first, which is to obey your parents in all things. And to honor them. And then we're going to look at what the scripture says to us as parents. Okay. Which is not to provoke our kids to wrath or anger or discouragement, but to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It's pretty simple. After that, we're going to go into a time of communion. So let's jump in. I remember when I was a little kid, I don't remember how old I was, maybe about the age of somebody up here on the front seats. My dad told me, gave me a knife, had an old-timer knife. Some of you guys may know what I'm talking about, the little brown ones, you know, with the... I was cutting everything toward myself. My dad's like, hey, don't cut toward yourself because you're going to cut yourself like that when the wood slips. Okay. And cut the other way. I went with my mom one day to town. Got in the car. I think it was a VW Bug. I don't remember, 1970-something. Got in there. There's no seat belts in those days, kids. It was just your mom put their arm out like this when you're about to get in an accident and tried to stop you from hitting the dash, and it never worked. She dislocated her shoulder and you hit the dash anyway. Okay. So that's the times. There's a lot of unsafe things going on. Okay. But what was really unsafe was in that VW with no safety belt. What was I doing? I was whittling a stick in the front seat. And what was I doing? Whittling it toward myself. And my mom lovingly said, Brian, what are you doing? And I said, I'm whittling a stick. And she said, why are you cutting towards yourself? Didn't your dad talk to you about that? I said, yeah, he did. But mom, I'm old enough now. I know how to handle the knife. I've handled it for a long time. And literally, one bump in the road, right down to the bone. Blood going everywhere. And my mom, God bless her, did not tell me not to... didn't like physically stop me. She just let me cut myself. She knew it was going to happen. Okay. And I got the point. So some of you guys are thinking, why do I need to obey my parents? Man, sometimes I feel at odds with my parents, okay? I feel like maybe I should be running my own show. My friend, you don't want to run your show at the age you're at, okay? Some of you may say, Brian, I'm not children, okay? I'm 16, 17 years old, okay? I get it, okay? This word in the Greek, this word for children, it talks about just basically the fact that you're a son or a daughter. It doesn't say that you're 16, 17, whatever, okay? It's not just for the little guys, okay? It's for you guys too. All right. So, when we go into the woods, we go into a drug trafficking grow in the mountains. We have somebody that goes and scouts it first. Okay. They go in, they find the entrails, they find the outtrails, they find the water intakes, they find punji pits, booby traps, trip wires, noise alarms, sentry positions, if they have weapons or not, all that stuff. They do all that. Okay. They've already gone in and just very cautiously scouted it all to come back and lead us in. Okay. Your parents have already been through the mill. They've already been to high school. They've already been to grade school. They've already been in that grow of life. Okay? All of them. So why in the world would you want to go in by yourself without any help and run your show? That's why the scripture says, as children, we're to obey our parents. And what does it say? Let's read it. Colossians 3, again, 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now go to Ephesians 6. What's it say over there? It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it says, honor your father and your mother. This is with a promise. It's the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You're thinking, well, that is true, because if I don't obey, I know in my house I won't live long on the earth, right? Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that. So this idea of obeying, okay? Does it say obey your parents when it's convenient for you? I didn't read that in there, okay? Did it say obey your parents when it makes sense to you? Okay? No, didn't say that either. Obey your parents when you feel like it? No. I tried all those growing up. I usually got a spanking. Okay? It doesn't say that. It says, in all things. Well, does that mean everything? Like if I'm told to go, like, help with an armed robbery? Yeah? I mean, no. Obviously not sin, okay? But everything shy of sin. What about your phone? Whoa, my phone? Some of you don't have phones. Praise God. Okay? Praise God for that. Your phone. Your social media. What about the way I dress? I got to obey my parents in all things? Yes. In all things. Everything. What about the friends I hang out with? Absolutely. Praise God. Your parents have your back. At your age, you don't see what's coming. You may see a light at the end of the tunnel, but you think it's the candy man and not the train. And so your parents are there to help you, to encourage you, to train and instruct you in God's word. Okay? And they've already been down that trail. They saw what that light was, and they're going to let you know and keep you free of it. So we should obey them in all things. What about my choice of music and movies? Yep, all of it. Why? That's a question that comes up a lot, right? I want you to do this. Why? Okay. Sometimes, I don't know, what age is it when they really ask why about everything? I don't know. I think I'm, huh? Too young. Okay. Parents, why do they ask why? They want to know why. Sometimes it's in rebellion, like, why? Why do I want to do that? Well, you can fix that too. We're going to talk about honoring your parents, and that's not honoring them, right? But why? In Colossians 3:20, we read that your obedience to your parents is what? It's well-pleasing to God. It's well-pleasing to God when you obey your parents. God notices that? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Secondly, Ephesians 6:1, God commands it, and it's right, it says. The world would tell you, oh, right and wrong, whatever, you know, whatever feels good, you need to do that, you know. Your parents shouldn't be holding you down like that. You know, I had a cell phone when I was 7, and I used to flip through the internet sites, all the X-rated, you know, what? Right? I mean, I'm not talking about me, I'm just saying kids say that these days. They're handing stuff to other people, they're showing stuff on their phone. I don't want that, okay? Your parents don't want that for you either. Be obedient to them. They're keeping you from the train wreck and the sharp knife cutting backwards. All right. How many of you young people would consider witchcraft a sin that you would really like to engage in? Witchcraft. No, I see no hands go up, and praise God for that, right? No, you don't want to be involved in witchcraft. Why? Is it serious? Is that a serious sin? Yeah, it's serious. Okay, witchcraft is serious. You don't want to mess around with that. Okay, God explicitly tells us don't do that. But if you go back into 1 Samuel 15, there's a story about a guy named Saul. And Saul was told to go and wipe out the Amalekites, all of them. Everybody, everything, all of it. He didn't do it. He did half of it. He kept the king alive. He did a little bit of obedience. Let's say he gave 50% obedience, maybe 65%. And you guys might say, well, that's pretty good, 65%. I mean, it's a D, but, you know, D is for degrees, right? No, what happened? Samuel came back, and what did he tell Saul with that 65% obedience? He said, I need to tell you what God told me. He gets Saul in his face, and he tells him, look, you didn't do what I told you to do. And he said, oh, I did it. And then he realizes, no, he said, you didn't do it. And if you read in that passage, it says, he told him, rebellion against God is as the sin of witchcraft. He goes on to say that rebellion, and then he goes on to say also stubbornness, okay, is like idolatry, okay, which we know is a very serious crime, okay. Witchcraft in those times, if you participated in witchcraft, you could be killed by the law. They would kill you, okay? So you guys see how serious obedience is to God? It's not a joke. 65% obedience does not cut it. If I had my police dog up here who's retired now, and I said, hey, I'm sending him on a crook, and then you run over and you get in the middle of the crook and him, and he thinks he's going to eat you, and I say, you know, I got a 50 to 65% call-off rate. Which means what? 50% of the time, he's going to bite the person when I try to call him off. Would you think that's adequate? No. Not if you're going to get bit. Okay? 55, 60%, 70% obedience is not what God calls us to as kids or adults. Okay? 100% obedience, that's what he calls us to. Okay? Oh, sin is, rebellion is real and it's serious. Next, what does it tell us to do? Let's look at a couple of scriptures before we change gears here into honoring your parents. But in Proverbs 13:1, you don't have to turn there. It says, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. What's a scoffer? That's the person who says, oh, whatever, that guy, you don't know anything. I mean, I grew up in this neighborhood. I know what's going on. I know I can go down there and do this stuff. And right, that's a scoffer. Okay. A scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 30:17 says, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother, this is pretty crazy, will be picked out by the ravens, or their eye will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Whoa, why would it say that? Because when we constantly go against what our parents say, when we're in full and absolute rebellion to them, doing our own thing, we're going to end up getting hurt, sometimes dead, okay? That's a pretty crazy statement. Yes, it is. And vultures do that. They start at your eyeballs. So when you die out in the field because you were trying to do something against what your parents told you to do, that's generally what happens if we don't get to you first, okay? It's serious. It's not a joke. It's serious. Proverbs 10:1 says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. And Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. That's all really good instruction. Next, we see in Ephesians, in this passage in Ephesians, this parallel passage, we see it says you're supposed to honor your mom and dad. To honor them. You guys know that you can be obedient and still not honor your parents, right? You do know that? I mean, let me give you an example of it. Your mom says, sweetheart, would you take out the trash? It's starting to stink real bad, and would you go do it before you go to school? And you go, I'm already late for my, I gotta get my, fine. You slam the door, I'll take out the stupid garbage. And you take the garbage out. Did you obey? Oh, yeah. You obey. Did you honor your father and your mother? Absolutely not. You did not. Some of you say, well, I'm not going to live long on the earth if I do that at my house. Well, good. You have a parent that loves you. Okay? Some of you may say, you know what? I'm more sneaky, Mr. Boyd. I go out the door before I say it. Okay? And then I say the same thing, but I don't say it so loud as people can hear it. I just mumble it under my breath. And some of you say, I wouldn't even try that because my dad sneaks around. He might be outside working or something and hear it. Others of you say, I'm gonna shut the door and I'm gonna sigh. Okay? It's all a heart issue. You guys understand? You're in obedience, but you're not to God. You're not honoring your mom and dad. Okay? You're not showing them respect and honor. Some of you may be saying, look, Mr. Boyd, you have no idea what my parents are like. They're alcoholics, drug addicts. Sometimes I am so angry with them about what's going on, whatever the case may be. Do I still have to honor them? Yes, you do. You still have to honor them. Does that mean that I obey them when they try to bring me into sin? No, I don't follow them into sin, but I should be respectful and honor them. I should honor them by praying for them because odds are they don't know Christ, okay? And if they do know Christ, they're in disobedience to him. So those are all things to think about. Those are hard things. We're told to honor the king, right? As adults, we're told to honor the king. That's pretty tough. I was saying something the other day to my family, like, I cannot honor him. And one of my family reminded me, hey, remember that scripture? And I was like, oh, man, yeah, I got to pray for him, right? So we have to honor the king. We have to honor our mom and dad. All right. Okay, so let's switch gears. What do we see for parents? Parents say we're told not to provoke our kids to anger. And if you read in Ephesians 6, it says don't provoke your children to wrath. If you go back to Colossians, it says, Colossians 3:20 or 21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Okay, so we see two different ideas, discouraged and provoking them to wrath. And they're kind of intertwined in a way. But if we look at those words, they're a little bit different in the Greek. So how as fathers do we, and I would argue parents, mothers as well, how do we provoke our children to wrath? I want you guys to brainstorm. So if you were just sitting there and you were just sucking on your thumb or had your passy or something, pull it out. Run your brain, okay, and tell me how we provoke our kids, either to discouragement or wrath. Give me one. I wrote a bunch down here. I'm going to see if you check them off. Say it loud. Inconsistent discipline. Absolutely. If this was like the Family Feud, like you'd hit up in the top three on that one. Inconsistent discipline. Absolutely. Hey, How would it work if one day a guy runs a red light and I write him a ticket for $100 and the next day he runs a light, I give him a felony prison sentence. I handcuff him, take him to jail. Totally inconsistent, right? Who's going to be upset? You guys who play baseball or watch baseball, you watch the ump, right? He throws the balls or the pitcher throws the balls. The ump is watching and say a guy calls low strikes. They're really a ball, but he's calling them low. Everybody knows, hey, the ump calls low strikes, so you better swing at anything if it's down below your knees. Golf it, okay? And then about five innings in, he changes it and calls him a ball, and the strikes are now somewhere else, right? It's inconsistent, and it frustrates us. It does the same thing to our kids. What else? Discipline what? Absolutely. Disciplining out of anger. What's that look like? Everybody like, I don't need to see it. I've seen it before. Okay? We've all disciplined out of anger at some point. Okay? You grab a kid. Come over here. Are you serious? Didn't I tell you? Whipping them around like that. Who's putting on the show there? What's the kid looking at? Is the kid looking inward to himself saying, man, I really shouldn't have done that. I was told not to do that. No, he's looking at us because we're in anger. Discipline him out of anger. And now he's focusing on our sin, which takes his eyes off of his and frustrates him and angers him. Right? And is a bad example to them. Right? Absolutely. What else? Sarcasm, mocking. Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it's a softball, you guys. We're parents. Okay, some of us have an intellect, some more than others. Okay, my wife has one. They serve you up a softball and you're like, I need to say it. No, I don't. I don't need to say that, right? Okay. Of course, we can most of the time play mental gymnastics around our kids. We can mock them. We can do that. It will draw them to anger, right? And discouragement. What else?
Saying nothing for the sake of peace.
Do what?
Saying nothing for the sake of argument.
Inaction. Complete inaction. Just step out, whatever. Let's just see where this goes, right? It's like driving down a mountain road as parents, and it's a cliffy, ugly mountain road with no guardrails, and you jump in the back seat with your kids, and you take turns screaming in each other's ear all the way down the mountain. Nobody's at the helm. Nobody's at the wheel, okay? No action. Sure, that's going to make them mad. Look at the life of David. Stuff was going on in his family. He didn't take action on it, and it boiled over into all kinds of chaos. Yes, what else?
Hypocritical,
absolutely. Yep. Hypocritical, right, guys? Absolutely. Yep. Don't do what I'm doing right now, right? Yeah, that's going to do it. What else? Too high of standards. Absolutely, right? I'm pushing somebody to a point there's no way they can be there. Okay? My mom tried to get me to play piano. If anybody knows me, no. Up here. I hurt piano teacher's ears, like permanently. It was not for me. I didn't have the gift of it in any way. It was too much for me. But that's small in comparison to what we put on our kids sometimes. Your kid gets up there to play baseball, you were a star. You were a star baseball player. You could hit anything, anywhere, and he gets up and he cannot hit it off the tee. And somehow your pride's hurt, and you're like, that's it. We're going to dedicate our whole lives to baseball, and you are going to hit a ball. You're going to be a rock star. You're going to get a professional, salary. Okay? Ladies putting themselves out saying, you know what? I want my daughter to be, the homecoming queen. I want them to be the cheerleading captain. I want all these things. And they push, and never are they satisfied. And what's it do? It breaks those kids down. I was reading a passage, a story about this lady that MacArthur was meeting with. He had this interview in one of his sermons, and she was in basically a funny farm. She was in a rubber room, and she lost herself because she could not ever make her mom happy. And she ended up taking her own life. Yeah, that's serious. We shouldn't be putting... Now, does that mean we don't require anything of our kids? We don't want to hurt the little darlings, right? No, they're resilient, okay? I've dropped them. I've run them over with quads. They're resilient, okay? So don't think, like the psychologist would tell you, the fragile little child. No. They're resilient. Praise God, because we are dumb sometimes as parents. We blow it. We make mistakes, but they're resilient, okay? But we shouldn't push them and push them and push them and push them. Why? Because we want to feel like we're something? Because we're sitting in the stands watching them play? Oh, that's my kid. My kid's the guy that can't hit it past first base. Does that mean I love him any less? When that love that you have for your child is bound up in what they do, and when they don't do it, you don't love them, you may not even think you're doing it. But they read it loud and clear. I did not please my mom. I didn't please my dad. They don't love me because I can't do these things. Man, you want to talk about breaking a kid? and he will break them. Harsh talk. I'm just going to come through some of these quickly. Giving them everything they want. Lying to them. Not encouraging them. When we trade dogs, I learned so much from master trainers with dogs. You're like, oh my gosh, he says training kids is like dogs. Yes. In some ways it is. A lot of ways. But you would see the trainers, or the handlers who would be like, everything's a correction. Oh, he didn't look me right. Oh, pinch collar. Ooh, ooh. No encouragement at all. None of it. It's only correction after correction on top of correction. Pretty soon you see the dog like this. I don't think I needed the 15th correction for turning my head to the left just that far. And so what do? They come up the leash. Kids are no different. It may be a little while, but they will come up the leash when you just keep hammering them for stuff they didn't deserve. The punishment not fitting the crime. No encouragement. Okay? A couple old dog trainers taught me that and said, look, Brian, you got to be positive, praise what's good, correct what's bad, but this training should be fun. It should be not like it is right now with you. It made a big difference in what I see. Also, if I'm looking for a good canine handler, I'm looking for somebody who disciplines his kids in love. If I go to their house and the kids are all out of whack, that guy does not need to have a dog, or that gal does not need to have a dog, because they can't even manage their own kids. They're not going to correct them. They're the parent that lets anything go and doesn't take any action. All right. I went and talked to my kids and asked them, hey, in what ways in the past, or do I now provoke you guys to anger, or do I discourage you? I got a lot of interesting comments. I told them I wouldn't share them right now, okay, but I could make them all squirm, right? We're all in the process of obedience and doing what God's telling us to do. We are failing, and we need to come to God and by his Holy Spirit ask for direction, okay? Ask for wisdom. Sometimes it just means, I know when we're training dogs, sometimes we just got to go to, like, monthly we'll go to a master trainer and he starts picking stuff out. It's like, hey, did you know your dog's growling at you, showing his teeth every time you make a turn? No. Did you know your dog's trying to dominate you in this area and he's just cheating to alert on a false alert just so you'll pay him the ball? He's reading your behavior. Older couples in the Lord can help you guys. When we were a young couple in Happy Camp, a lady, one of Tally's friends, came over to us and said, hey, look, this is what I'm seeing in your kids, and this is what you guys are doing wrong. Pretty gutsy, right? Most parents go, oh, what? Your child is over in my house doing blah, blah, blah. Do not do that. That woman loved us enough to tell us and encourage us and to show us what we couldn't see. Sometimes it's that way, isn't it? We just don't see it. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Go to a godly couple that you respect, that has raised their kids well. Ask them questions. Go on a little trial run. Figure out what's going on to see what you can get from that, okay? Provoking our kids. There's lots of different ways we do it. What else? Favoritism. I wrote that one down as well. Treating one of the kids better than the other one. If you could just be like your sister, she gets like straight A's. What's wrong with you? I don't get straight A's, right? Sometimes they're really trying, okay? Sometimes you guys are sandbagging, okay? You're like, oh, my leg's broken. I got a bone in my leg. Oh, you know, I can't do my homework, okay? That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But we shouldn't compare them to their siblings. I want to read just something real quick. Something that you mentioned, pushing achievement but not beyond reasonable bounds. MacArthur made this statement. He said, a child can be so pressured to achieve that they're virtually destroyed. Fathers who fantasize their own achievements through their athletic skills of their sons, or mothers who fantasize a glamorous career through the lives of their daughters. That is damaging. All right, we kind of talked about that, but I felt that quote needed to be read. So we see all these different things, how we provoke our kids and can provoke them to anger and to discouragement. So what else does the scripture tell us? Let's read down in Ephesians 6, 4. It says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Training there is talking. I looked up that word in the Greek, and it means the word itself encompasses not only education or training, but also disciplinary correction, or what the scripture calls chastisement. And the King James, if you look in your scripture, it'll say nurture. That word is nurture. It's the only time that you see that word used in the King James Bible in that passage. But it's talking about education, training, disciplinary correction, okay, or chastisement. And this idea of instruction or nurture. And then we're called to not only train them, but to admonish them. And that word means to call attention to, by implication, a mild rebuke or a warning. Hey, I was just letting you know, I noticed that you were using God's name in vain. That cannot happen. We don't use God's name as a cuss word, and this is why, okay? And explain what's going on to our kids. So we have training them and admonishing them. Sometimes it's easy just to put the hammer down, right? Time is short. I don't have much time. This training is going to be a series of whip downs, okay? There's no training. There's no telling them, hey, look, this is what's going on. It's just the hammer all the time. It's not done in love. It's like a mining operation with no heart or feeling. And you say, hey, if I'm just going to blow it up with dynamite. Okay, and then if that don't work, I'm going to get more dynamite. I'm going to blow it up more. Okay, that is not productive. Okay, that's not productive. That's not training. Training is hard. It takes patience. Discipline takes patience. We have a problem with obedience, don't we, in this nation? Of little kids. If you guys just go to the mall, go to the store, we see all kinds of crazy stuff going on. I'm going to read a quick passage from a gentleman who made this quote. He said, "I'm writing this to plead to Christian parents to require obedience from their children. I'm moved to write this by watching young children pay no attention to their parents' requests with no consequences. Parents tell the child two or three times to sit or stop or come or go, and after the third disobedience, they laughingly bribe the child. This may or may not get the behavior desired." He goes in to talk about, this is written a long time ago, about a kid who got killed because he wouldn't drop an AR rifle that was some kind of fake gun when the officers told him twice to drop it. He just disobeyed him and turned it on him, okay, and he ended up getting shot. This guy makes this claim. He says, "I witnessed such a scenario in the making on a plane last week. I watched a mother preparing her son to be shot. I was sitting behind her son, who may have been 7 years old. He was playing on his digital tablet. The flight attendant announced that all electronic devices should be turned off for takeoff. He didn't turn it off. The mother didn't require it. As the flight attendant walked by, she said he needed to turn it off and kept moving. He didn't do it. The mother didn't require it. On the last time, the flight attendant stood over them and said that the boy would need to give the device to his mother. He turned it off. When the flight attendant took her seat, the boy turned his device back on and kept it on through the takeoff. The mother did nothing. I thought to myself, she is training him to be shot by police." Who's the problem there, kids? Both, right? But who's in charge? The mom. Okay? Is that how we're training our kids? Is that how you're training your kids? Are you too worried about the hassle it's going to be? I know one time Tally said she was in the grocery store and all three of them were acting out. And she's like, "I got to get out of here and I got to get home to my spatula and I'm going to make this happen." And we're over it. She left a cart full of groceries in the grocery store full and left. And everybody got it in love when she got home. Do you think that requiring obedience of our kids is going to be easy? No, it's not. What's more difficult? Dealing with that child for 20, 30, 40 years because you did not correct them and did not do the work, or doing the work when they're little? What's worse? Oh, by far, absolutely worse is not disciplining your kids. There were times, I won't name any names, that I remember restraining one of the kids for at least an hour and 45 minutes while they screamed, baby cussed me, spit, tried to bite me, the whole thing, all because they wouldn't obey. They fell asleep in my arms after I was exhausted and sweaty. It was one of these hot days and we had no swamp cooler. I put them in their crib. They went to sleep for 20, 30 minutes, got up, I went back into restraining them. I was like, hey, no, you cannot do that, and we're going to pick up where we left off. And it was another hour show. It gave me 50% obedience. Okay. Be good. Not honoring, right? Not the heart had not changed. Then it was 75% obedience. Then it was, okay, maybe be good, right? 90% obedience. Do not accept 93% obedience. Your kids are going to give you what you will take. Some of you are thinking, man, I'd love to have 50% obedience in the grocery store. Man, you do not want 50% obedience. You want obedience. Okay? All right. Let's finish up. I want each one of you guys to go home today, sit down with each one of your kids separately, and I want you to ask them privately, what am I doing that's causing you, provoking you to anger or discouragement? And be prepared to hear what they have to say. Okay? Prepare yourself. Some of you guys say, well, I'm a single parent. That's okay. Have somebody, go talk with your kids. Have a loving, godly grandparent or family member come with you or come alongside of you, a friend, okay? We have a church here full of believers that love you, okay? When you need help, ask, okay? But I want you each to do that. And you kids, I want you guys to ask forgiveness for when you have not obeyed, okay? And you parents, if you have not been holding them to obedience, you need to ask the kids to forgive you for not doing what God calls you to do. Scripture says who the Lord loves, he corrects, just like the Father and the Son in whom he delights. If you do not correct your child, you do not delight in them. You're not loving them. That's serious, but it's true. Are you going to let them just run crazy, or are you going to obey God? So if you've not been correcting your kids, you've not been disciplining them, ask them to forgive you and explain to them what's going to happen now. And sit down and pray and ask God to guide and direct you. There were a lot of times I came home and Tali was in the bathroom praying because she didn't know what to do. Kids were out of control, doing their things. I keep old home videos just to remind myself what they were like, okay? And if they thought they were getting too big for their britches and they were perfect children, I play the video. And I've let them watch it, and they're like, oh my goodness, we were so naughty. Like, yes. What's the scripture say? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Do you think your little darling is, like, perfect? Okay, 3 to 9 months, they're pretty cool. Okay, but they're sinners. Bodhi Bakum says they're vipers in diapers. They have the sin nature. They're sinners. Okay? They're sinners. Do not back away from what the Word of God says, and that is to spank them. Okay? Some people say, I spank, and it doesn't work. You're probably not spanking hard enough. Okay? You're probably not. It's this little thing that kind of maybe, and then all that does is harden them. They're like, I can take it. I can take that. I remember one time my brother told my mom, that doesn't hurt. Right? Okay. She said, your dad will take care of it. Don't be scared to obey God's word. You should be scared by obeying all the psychologists in this world will tell you otherwise. I'm going to have the men get up and get communion ready. For those of you who are not born again, I would ask you to pass the communion, okay, the bread and the grape juice. For those of you who don't know Christ, let me tell you about him. I would never want to send you away from this place and not tell you the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ obeyed for us. He obeyed the whole law. We broke it all. We had nothing to look forward to but the wrath of God. Jesus Christ bore the wrath of God on the cross for you. The Bible says it's appointed once for a man to die and then the judgment. If you are just relying on your own good works or whatever you can bring to the table, it's not enough. Jesus Christ was enough. The scripture says to put your faith and trust in him. Alone. Alone. If you have not done that, I would urge you and encourage you to do that. We can't make it through this world by pulling up our bootstraps. We can't make it to heaven by pulling up our bootstraps. Jesus Christ did it for us. Come to him. Repent of your sin. Put your faith and trust in him alone. And you will be saved. You will be adopted into God's family. You will be a new creature in Christ. He will put his Holy Spirit inside of you to lead and direct you and to draw him to himself. And those of you who know Christ, praise God. Just keep looking to him. When all three of them are going crazy, all four of them are going crazy, five, yeah, God, help me to be obedient in training them and correcting them and calling them to obedience. Just reach out to him. I'm right there with you. I was out of the game, but now I'm back in it. That's okay. That's good stuff. Why do we do this? Why do we take communion? Because our memories are bad, aren't they? It's hard to remember. This right here keeps our eyes on Christ, his work, his love, his promises, all of it. That's what this reminds us of. What else is there, guys? What else? First Corinthians 11:23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful. We're so grateful that you give us clear and easy instructions. We don't need to have a master's or a doctorate in psychology to raise our kids. You just tell us, look, correct them. Give them a spanking when they need it. They're not going to die. And God, we thank you for our kids. Lord, we love them. Please help us to discipline them, to train them, to not be lazy in doing it. God, please forgive me for when I have, and help me to teach and train them and bring them up in the training and admonition of you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.